This is the MLW Radio Network.
And welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews, and opinions on the world of Japanese pro wrestling here on the MLW Radio Network. My name is Striga. I'm your host. It feels good to say this again after two episodes where I have not been on. I took a little break in the last couple of weeks, but Dylan, of course, was always ready to go. He produced two great episodes. One, of course, we talked about on the first free show for Antonio Inoki's Week of Lariat up on our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat. He did one on the life and career of Antonio Inoki. And just this past weekend, Dylan, you did another one with Case Lowe from Voices of Wrestling about the Observer Hall of Fame.
Yeah, first of all, it's great to have you back, Striga, you know, but you haven't been completely gone, because we did that whole week's show on Inoki, on the Patreon, so, you were, I forget how I described it, on excursion or something, like, on there, but, you were gone for a little while, everybody missed you, everybody said, where's Striga, and now they know he's back, you cannot keep him away, you cannot stop him, he's an immovable object, you could say.
Is it?
Are
you the irresistible force then?
Well, we're on the same team. We're not colliding. I'm not coming at you. So if I'm an irresistible force, I'm coming at somebody else. You know, you're just an immovable object that actually is friends with the irresistible force or I forget what they call it, the unstoppable force as well.
Yes.
Well, so all of the above is true. You're immovable. I'm irresistible. We're unstoppable together. So it makes perfect sense when you think about it. But the Inoki episode. Big shout out to Ken Stalker, Cameron Lee. Big information on that show. Everybody should listen to it, because you will learn something about Antonio Inoki if you listen to it, almost certainly. So that was a very important show to do. I felt strongly that we did it, so hopefully people enjoyed it somewhat. The Hall of Fame show, that honestly was just it's something a little different. You know, it's something me and you have never really broached on or anything like that. There's a lot of interesting people in the Japan candidacy this year, that really started like totally randomly, much like literally everything else, like that I do in anything. It was like he just said one day, he's like, "Hey, if anybody wants to talk to me about the Hall of Fame, talk to me." And I was like, "Hey, want to come on my show?" and then we did it. And then he was like, "Oh yeah, listen to your show." And I do like his show, actually, in all seriousness. The Open the Voice Gate. He's a very, very talented purveyor of Dragon Gate, which shown very highly in his observer votes. And he's an observer voter as well. He has an actual ballot. Next week, or sometime thereabouts, I've already recorded a show with Gerard Detrolio from Emerald Flow Show, talking about the old candidates and the non-wrestlers as well. So there's going to be more stuff there. We will see about the other ones. Like I said, I'm hopeful to get them. I really want to talk about the Lucha one because there's a lot of great talent on there too. The old school one was really interesting because it's people beyond my time. It's more educational, so it's harder to have bias against people you haven't seen wrestle, mm-hmm. really. But you look at some of the influence, like June Byer is one of the last women stars in America, like Sputnik Monroe. Shout out to Memphis. Helped desegregate things in Memphis. In general, just through his wrestling, really cool story there. Good stuff all around. And then the one thing about there's actually a few things actually that I would change about the Observer Hall of Fame. No disrespect to Dave Meltzer, but there are some things that I'm not a big fan of with this Hall of Fame. Although I respect it, and it's cool to talk about these people. I always say, like, even if you don't care about the Hall of Fame, there's value in talking about these people in this particular context. So I say that's like the biggest win of the Hall of Fame. But there's some things I would change for sure. And but still, it was fun to talk about all of the candidates and stuff. And I specifically wanted Case on because I knew he would say stuff that I wouldn't agree with.
We would have
stuff that is more. I've always said it's more interesting, even on our show, like when we disagree about stuff than the same stuff. There's no reason to disagree about some stuff. There's going to be some stuff we talk about that we just know sucked, and there's no arguing for it from you or me. So there it going on in Japanese wrestling right now. That, you know, so there's a lot of that stuff where it's just easy to see. But then I do think it's fun for that stuff, those legendary performers and stuff, because they're all, you know, all of those guys in the Japanese scene and even the U.S. scene was very influential and legendary in their own ways. But it's fun to disagree, and I think that's more interesting. So hopefully everybody enjoyed it. There'll be a little bit more. Like I said, if people liked it, it may be a regular thing in the future. If not, I may not do it and pretend I never did it in the future. So we will never speak of it again if it's not very popular with the listeners. But so far, I think people enjoyed it somewhat. There, like I said, it's just a unique thing. We've been at this for so many years and never really even talked about the Hall of Fame. So it was nice to breach this subject for. You know, for the first time. We will see if it continues. It depends on the listeners. If they liked it or not, there may be more in future years. If not, like I said, we still have the modern stuff. That's the stuff that everyone loves the most. And
yes.
That's what we're here to talk about today.
Absolutely. And we'll see what we agree and disagree on today's show, Dylan. I have a strong feeling that we'll agree on a lot that happened in All Japan this past weekend. That's going to be our first topic for today, our first main topic. Second main topic is going to be DDT. They also had a big show this past weekend. And at the end of the show, we'll probably discuss some other promotions going through a bit of their upcoming cards. But for All Japan Pro Wrestling, Dylan, we just came off this series on our Patreon about Antonio Inoki's career, and we also, of course, touched on Giant Baba, his tag team partner turned rival as a promoter, and both of them, of course, founded their promotions in 1972, and just this past weekend, All Japan Pro Wrestling Baba's promotion turned 50 years old, and at the same time, Takao Omori celebrated his 30th anniversary as a professional wrestler by challenging Kento Miyahara for the Triple Crown in Senyo in Niigata, a venue that is not really known for holding big title matches in recent history, but they drew a very good house there with a little over 1,000 fans. And while All Japan, of course, is not the company that it was anymore, it is still something to be proud of as a company like this to last for over 50 years now, or for exactly 50 years now, because when you that's what I compared it to when I thought about it yesterday. When you look at, for example, the history of the JWA, that for a long, long time looked like it would be lasting forever with the stars they were producing. But of course, backstage, there were a lot of scandals and a lot of shifts that happened. But then New Japan and All Japan came around, but it wasn't sure that these companies would last. And then there is examples of companies in Japan that grow and grow and grow, and they fall off a cliff. All Japan, since 2000, since the split, they always had their issues. They always had their other splits that happened, for example, Wrestle One. But it always worked out for them, and they look like at least they are in a somewhat good place with the level of a company that they are now. They are bigger than some of the indies, bigger than 01, for example. They aren't able to do really big highs, but for example, this Sumo Hall show they did a couple of weeks ago was really well done and produced, except for the main event and the programming. Excuse me?
Budokan.
Yes, Budokan, yeah. Not Sumo Hall. Of course. Did a good house for them. So this one really looked good for them, drawing a house of 1,018 fans, Dylan.
Yeah, you know, they had a little bit of momentum. Even the Budokan show, like you said, did better than expected. However, they pulled it off. You know, you had some decent, decent momentum coming out of all of that, I would say. I think going into it, it was a a really tough go of things over the summer, to be honest with you. And it was a really down period, you know, overall. Things really felt like they were struggling. And now you see this house, it seems like I said, they were able to manage and successfully get some momentum from that show. Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where things go in the future, because, like I said, it's been a very, very up and down year in general. Just, like, never mind their history, just this year, I would say there's been a lot of ups and downs. But they were able to use that momentum to have this nice little show here that, like you said, did a very good number. Feels like they had a little bit more momentum. We'll see if they keep it up, because I don't think they will, based on something we're about to talk about. But we'll get there.
Yeah. What do you think about the title match?
Really good match, I thought. It wasn't like a lot of the other Kento matches, and it was missing that really, really big type of finish that I don't think you do, but they did a little different stuff. You know, Fuchi came in, was about to throw in the towel for him. I thought it was a nice little... It was nice to add something a little different to this world title match, and I like that it is a little bit different in general, just putting a Omori in there. But when it came down time to do the finishing stretch, you know, with Kento, they did have a good stuff there. You know, they did a nice little tease of him hitting a bunch of axe bombers for, you know, some near falls there. I got the
really cool near falls.
Yeah, they're really well done. The crowd got into them too. You could actually hear them. They started to really start to buy into all of this. But then Miyahara, of course, came back with his big moves. You know, the blackouts and the shutdown German at the end to get the win. So I thought it was a good match overall. Like, really good, actually. Like, it was a lot of fun. We're very well done for what it was. I'm a huge Omori fan in general. Even historically, I think he's underrated. I think he's really good. Always liked him, and now seeing him get this title shot, he performed well again. He's been actually doing good for a while now, to be honest with you. If you look at him in the undercards and a lot of stuff he's doing, like even in the tournament, he got that a little bit of a decent run there. He's been doing good for a while now and did good here as well. So I enjoy Omori still. And Kento, he is a stabilizing champion for the company and did another good main event here for him, as you would expect.
I was really happy for Omori that he got this chance here. I thought he performed well, did a good match against Kento. They could have built him up as a challenger better because, he didn't get a signature win before challenging for the Triple Crown. They basically just did this because it was his anniversary. That was the main reason for doing this match. But I really liked how they presented him here. They, of course, did this regular Kento Miyahara outside brawl stuff in the beginning. And then he looked like he would put away Omori really easily. And they even went to this deal that Masafuchi, who was accompanying Omori to the ring, was already ready to throw his jacket into the ring to call it a day for Omori, to get the fans to rally behind Omori, and which turned out to be helpful in the end, because Omori made a big comeback with a full Nelson slam and then hit the X-Bombers that you mentioned. So that was a nice structuring element of this match.
Yeah, exactly what I said. I thought the throwing in the towel spot worked really well. You know, and stuff. It made the crowd get into it. And it added something different to this match that you probably won't see in any of his other matches, which I think is very important. It's particularly for this title reign, because this is a good match and all, but I think the problem with this is, and we're heading into the tag league, so, you know, we've got a month or two break of all this, but I think the problem with Kento as champion is that he's wrestled all of these guys many times at this point, so, they're going to have to find ways to keep these matches a little bit fresher, and I thought that they're one for one right now with Omori.
Yep. So, this show, except for the title match, consisted vastly of tag matches. One match I want to mention, because it was really cool and not very usual for an All Japan show, was the second match, in which Shuji Ishikawa beat Rising Hayato in 8 minutes. Not a squash. Hayato got a lot of offense in against Ishikawa, who proved to be a really good base for a flyer like Hayato. One minor fuck-up in this match, but except for that good match. And I liked how Shuji did this match that he wouldn't usually do.
Yeah, I like this match too, actually. I think this is another one you could point to. I thought Hayato, he's been doing really good stuff. I was talking about this off the air with somebody, and I was saying how I really liked this match. And they were a little like, oh, man, yeah, it was good, but I don't like the booking of, you know, this guy who was on the rise, no pun intended, it was his name, but he was like a main guy in the junior division, and he just loses to the heavyweights on there. But I actually thought it worked good, though, personally.
Yeah.
I liked it. I thought that he looked really good, particularly in the match. And the big dog, he did his role. Like I said, again, he's not where he was 6-7 years ago, but for a mid-card dude in these like short matches, you can face the younger guys. I thought he actually performed pretty well in there. And I thought they had a nice little match here. And I thought Hayato looked good. It was good stuff. I liked the match. I agree with you. I think that they did a good job. I like both of them in the match, and they did good.
Yeah, two Voodoo Murders matches back-to-back then with the Saito brothers defeating the All Asia Tag Champions in a non-title match. For whatever reason, this was a non-title match. I have no idea. But they did. That then set up the next match where it was actually a match for Yoshitatsu's 20th anniversary. But in the end, it was not about Yoshitatsu at all, but it was just about the Voodoo Murders, because Jun and Rei Saito once again interfered into the match and led Suwama to victory here. This was the portion of the show that was really uninteresting, because this Voodoo Murders thing that basically came to an end when Suwama lost the title, but they somehow just thought, okay, we are prolonging this. And they also did this crack between Suwama and Taru. And for whatever reason, at the first show after Budokan, they just reconciled and said, okay, yeah, we're teaming again. Because like he brought in these new guys with the Saito brothers for Suwama to team with. And that's where they are right now.
Oh, I hated that. I thought the Saito brothers were so much better on their own. And I thought they actually... their tag title match they did with Honda and Ashino was actually good. I thought I thought they did a great job on their own. I've always been a fan of theirs. I've always thought they were way underrated. A lot of people gave negative things to them, and I thought they were underrated. I liked what they brought, because they brought something different to the card as heavyweights and bring in a lot of sumo stuff, which I thought was cool. They came back with this wild new gimmick, and I never thought Voodoo Murders was leaving, and I know a lot of people did, and it kind of just scared me, because I was like, man, everyone's so certain that this is going to end soon, and I was just like they're going to keep this going, probably it's going to make my life worse. And they determined that, yes, we want to make your life worse, Dylan. We are going to keep this Voodoo Murder stuff around, and we're going to put two of your favorite guys in there and make them, they were good young talents, guys who could be something in the tag division. Nobody ever saw them as main eventers or even really as single stars, but a good tag team that gives some depth, which this company needs a lot of. And now we're going to make them horrendous, because I thought their match sucked, against Sato and Tamura. I didn't like them at all, actually. It's not like there was, a ton of Voodoo Murder stuff. It just feels like this is the key to regression, this Voodoo Murder's clip here.
It really is.
Yeah, because I thought their match was not good at all, and I'm a huge fan of Hikaru Sato, and Tamura's okay, a fine mid-card guy in his own right, but I thought their match totally sucked. Suwama and Yoshitatsu, we figured that would be bad, and it lived up to any expectations that you could have.
Why did they turn the Saito brothers so quickly? Because they brought them back to Budokan, they gave them this shiny gear, they produced some stories in magazines for them. They produced a video for them. They gave them this kick-ass song. Yes, they still have it, though. But now they are just heels. I came away thinking maybe they thought they could hide their weaknesses easier by doing this heel shtick. But even doing this heel shtick, they need to really work that out to make that work for them. So I would have kept them in their position to be babyface tag team, because I think it suits them much more than portraying these heels that have to look nasty and grunt a lot. I don't know if that's their forte.
I don't know if anybody can succeed in Voodoo Murders, to be honest with you. But, this is definitely disappointing, because I liked them. I thought that they were, I thought they were on their way to being a good tag team. And I think a lot of people, even their doubters, were pretty impressed with their titles match they had against Ashino and Honda. And unfortunately, they've done this with them, and I think that it's a big blow to the depth of the promotion. And ultimately, it's just showing that like voodoo murders are still not just, they're not just around, they're going to be main focuses of this promotion, which is a terrible decision. And funnily enough, seem to not have a lot of, like, throughout the summer, there was no discernible boost from voodoo murders or good things that they brought to this promotion at all. And yet we're still doing it, you know, so it's like, I don't know. I don't know what to tell you, Strick, because this doesn't make any sense to me why they keep doing it. I figured they would, because I'm always negative, and I always expect bad things when it comes to booking, and unfortunately, yet again, they've proven me right. Moving the Saitos to the voodoo murders was unexpected in a totally negative way, and I'm very unhappy with the direction that they're going with, and unhappy with the direction of a lot of things right now, and it all centers around the voodoo murders, because I don't think that they have any value. In fact, not only do they not have value, they actively make these shows worse. And including Suwama himself, again, I'm not a big fan of what he's doing on his own. So I don't think there's any positives to voodoo murders, and it sucks.
I was just going to say, but wait, there's more. Because they did another show on a Sunday in Osaka where they put the World Tag Team title and the World Junior title on the line. And we were just talking about Shotaro Ashino and Ryuki Honda, they defended the titles against the Saito brothers in September, and now they were up against Masayuki Kono and Suwama. And a couple of days before this match, actually, they had this press conference where Suwama called Ashino and Honda a comedy tag team and demanded that they disband if they lose the World Tag title match. And at that point, I tweeted out, would be really comical if that happened. And in the end, it happened. So All Japan always out there for giving us laughs, especially when they are trying to push young guys. They gave them this title run for like 120 days or so. They had 4 title defenses in a very short time because they pretty much defended it every other week. And yeah, now they are just not the champions again, and it's doubtful where they will be going, because it really felt like that these two caught a lot of momentum, especially after the Nippon Budokan, where they were given the titles by, it was Tower and Kawada, right?
That is indeed true.
Yes, so they were there to present them with the belts. It looked like they were off and running as World Tag Team Champions to the Real World Tag League at the end of the year, but nope. Here are the Voodoo Murders, and Kono and Suwama are once again, or not once again, for the first time actually together, the World Tag Team Champions.
Oh, this is awful. Like, I hate this so much, I can't even describe it, how stupid I think this whole thing is. I mean, like I said, I feel like I've said so much over the last few months when it comes to All Japan and their booking and Voodoo Murders and Suwama and all of them. But now they found somehow something that nobody could have planned or expected or knew of, a new low. You know, you think that they've hit rock bottom with a lot of the stuff they're doing, and they've crashed to the floor, because who in their right mind sits around and says, man, what we need is Kono being a feature player? Who says that in 2022, or really at any point in his career? Who says we need Kono as one of the main guys of the promotion?
I don't know what to tell you.
And to what end? Like, where could they possibly be going with this that could have a satisfying conclusion? You know, there's no... If they win the titles back, this still is stupid. Like, we're going Kono and Suwama.
Yeah, I was just going to say, that would be the one thing that I could imagine. Like, Honda and Ashino winning the tag league and then winning the belt backs. But still, it's a weird detour to take for two guys.
Yeah. As I said, it's still stupid if that is the ultimate plan. And who knows what if that's even true or not. And if it is, as I said, it's dumb anyway. So none of this is good. I have no earthly idea what they see in this or what metrics they seem to have to support this idea. I cannot explain it. I wish I had known. You know, I wish somebody would tell me the truth and the reality of it all and whose decision is this. It feels like to me something like this is... This whole Voodoo Murders thing, honestly, feels like a cry for attention, you know, in a lot of ways. Like, it feels like somebody going through a midlife crisis, you know, trying to relive the good old days, you know, when they were younger. And, you know, now they're doing this, maybe hoping to get some publicity. Just say, hey, Voodoo Murders are champions. Maybe you could get a headline somewhere on Tokyo Sports or some bullcrap like that. That doesn't really mean anything. That's what this feels like. It doesn't feel like we're doing things for wrestling's sake or the fans or even trying to – even business sense. It feels like somebody is trying to, you know, relive happier times in their life for whatever reason, and we're having to pay the price for it. Because the fans are the ones that are suffering, and because it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make sense booking, it doesn't make sense business, it doesn't make sense in-ring.
The in-ring, especially the in-ring part, is what really suffers, because this tag match was god-awfully bad.
Yeah, it sucked. And I mean, Ashina, man, Honda all hits. That's my guy. And like this is the one time he didn't hit. They made him not hit Voodoo Murders. Like, this was not a good match at all. This sucked. And he's great. And, like, Ashino is a wonderful worker. Like, these two are awesome as a team. I love their whole style. The Shades, like, they come across as lovable, fun, and they're awesome workers. They have kick-ass matches. And this match sucked. And all of their matches are going to suck against Kono and Suwama because they're a piece of crap tag team that nobody wants to see. And because they weren't even good in their prime as a team. That's the problem with Voodoo Murders. They sucked 15 years ago. There is no positives to Voodoo Murders at all. There's nothing good you could say. Kono is a nothing worker. Like, the most mid talent that there's ever been since Soma Takao in DDT before he got better in
Gunbara Pro. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's way better at Gunbara Pro.
Yeah, yeah.
So now Kono has now taken his mantle as the most 5 out of 10 level worker that there's ever been, because there's nothing stand out about him at all. And in this role, he's actually more like a 2 out of 10 in Voodoo Murders. And Suwama is not much better. I don't care what anybody says. Yes, he's a good worker. But I don't need to see him in title reigns under any circumstances. And yet here we are. And like, it didn't even take him a month. He was just champion a month ago.
Yes, and that's crazy, right? And he always has to say backstage, of course, as one of the mainstays with the promotion and one of the seniors in the promotion, he has somewhat of a say in booking, of course. And he, of course, was champion for their anniversary show. And now here he is again, once again being champion, where his role right now should be to, like, guide younger talent and put over younger talent. But no, he's front and center.
And in the worst possible scenario now, even worse than it was last year when he was also champion. So, like I said, it seems like a guy who just can't let it go, that, you know, for whatever reason, that he's not the main eventer he wanted to be, and he's just keeps going on and on with this, and it totally is crippling the promotion in terms of my interest, because this is even worse. Like I said, the last time he did it is just his normal self. The Voodoo Murder stuff is no bueno. Like, there's nothing good about this at all. And I have no interest in anything they could possibly do. The only thing that could be good is when they lose the titles to somebody else again. And that's still going to be bad. Even when they lose it, if they put over Ashino Honda, if it's Kento and Nomura, if it's Jake and Yuma, I don't care who it is. This still sucks. Like, there's no benefit to this team at all, in my opinion. So, yes, I was very unhappy with the main event earlier today. And I do not think that it was the right decision. And like I said, it really feels like one person is running this promotion, and it's kind of focused on the wrong things, and mainly on himself and his ideas that I don't think benefit the fans personally. And I don't know too many people that are like, you know, because every heel faction has their fans, right? Mm-hmm. But even in All Japan, I don't see a lot of widespread support for Voodoo Murders, to be honest with you. There's nobody I see clamoring that says, yes, this is great. This is what we need. Look at the Saito brothers again. Look at their match against Ashino and Honda 1 month ago before they joined Voodoo Murders. And look at them against Sato and Tamura 1 month later. It's way, way worse. And there's nothing that can be said other than this is not good.
Yes, I can't agree more. There is one thing, though. One small positive thing, Dylan. They threw Minoru out of the stable, because he lost his title match against Atsuki Aoyagi. And of course, if you're a loser, you can't be part of the Voodoo Murders. So they beat him up. They all stomped him to the ground. And Minoru Tanaka is no more Voodoo Murderer. That is at least one good thing.
Minoru is no more. He now will get his last name back. He's outside of
maybe. Yes,
he was the all caps Minoru in the Voodoo Murders, and now
not all caps, just his first name.
Oh, okay, but now he can get his last name back.
Can. Yes, he can. But what he didn't get back was the All Japan World Junior Heavyweight title. He lost to Atsuki Aoyagi in the semi-main of that show in Osaka. I thought it was a good match. It started out with Minoru Tanaka going for Atsuki's midsection for most part of the first minutes, because, of course, he was setting up his double stomps and maybe also his Firebird Splash that in the end he couldn't hit. Then Aoyagi made his comeback with some spectacular moves, hit his moonsault, and then won the thing with the Firebird Splash. Good stuff for him. Great that he gets to at least establish himself as a junior heavyweight champion with a win over this legend.
Yeah, it's no secret Minoru Tanaka is very good, you know. So I expected this match to really do some good things, and I really like Atsuki as the champion. I think that they're finally on the right track. I thought that Tiger Mask run was just god awful. That's another thing that I had a major issue with going in there, and I think that they're in a much better place with him as champion, and they'll have a chance to rebuild. The problem is with this division is that there's so many stops and starts over the years with guys that. You know, it feels like by January he could drop the title, you know, and then if that happens, what will all this have been worth? I don't know, but he's good. I think he's a great champion. He's somebody that I think should stand tall in the junior division, do some things, but I think in general they're at a place similar to some other divisions. You know, it's not like they're the only one, so you can't just put it all on All Japan, but they still have some ways to go, you know, with this junior division to get there to where it's really more meaningful. But at least he's a good wrestler and a good young wrestler, a new guy that they can push. You know, it feels like a moment in his career. It means it's meaningful to him, which is step one to it being meaningful to the fans. So yes. I think that they're on the right track with him. And like I said, Minoru Tanaka, just a consummate professional. Older, yes, maybe not as great as he once was, because when he once was like super great, one of the best wrestlers, and he's probably not at that level anymore, but still good, like always worth having and worth wrestling guys in singles matches, so I like seeing that. And yeah, I think it's great that he's outside of Voodoo Murders. I wonder if he'll be back in All Japan, period, after this, or is he just going to go back to great?
I think he'll be doing both moving forward, because after the match, Aoyagi, he said he wants to have a junior league at the end of the year, he mentioned. And of course, the entire junior division came to the ring. There was Dentamura, Hikaru Sato, Hokuto Omori, Ryo Inoue was there, Rising Hayato. It's all over, like they are six guys in the junior division. And of course, to hold a proper league, they would need some more talent. Minoru, I can see being one of them. The question is it going to be a league, or is it once again going to be a tournament? Because they are running their Real World Tag League in November and in early December, and usually they don't have that many shows at the end of the year anymore. But if they do a league, they would need some more, I guess.
I think it's a great idea to have a junior league of some sort. You know, we've seen them have the tag league in the past that they've done, you know, the junior battle of glory and stuff. You could pull something like that out. You know, like you said, there might not be enough shows for a full league, but sure. Like, why? I think it's a great idea. Give them a little bit of a tournament to make some kind of spotlight. I've honestly kind of wondered why they've never... That's something I've always thought about with All Japan, by the way. This is something that I don't think we've ever actually directly stated, but it's something that has been on my mind in the past. I've always wondered why they never had a junior champion carnival of some sort.
Yeah, they only have this junior battle of glory thing that sometimes is a tag tournament, but the last one they did was last year in June. They did, but there only was a tournament. They had this also as a champion carnival format in years past, I believe. Let me see.
Well, even with, never mind the format, just calling it the champion carnival.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I feel like you're missing out not having that.
Exactly. Just name a junior carnival.
Yeah, exactly. That would be perfect. Like just some version of that you could attach to the champion carnival. Of all the tournaments, the longest tenured and most prestigious one, you know, they never did it for the juniors. That's something I've always wondered why they didn't do, but they don't really do a lot of stuff to protect the junior division in general. So.
And that is ultimately the point.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they probably don't even care or think about it that much. So I think that we're at least on a track here of, like, doing stuff with Aoyagi. Him mentioning that specifically, that they wanted to have a junior league, I think is a good idea. And if they do it, it'll be a really good idea. And if they don't do it, then I guess we'll just be continuing on the same road that we've been on. But like you said, it's just what you just said is kind of an issue with both divisions. Or really all three, even the tag team, is that the depth in the company is still, you know, it's not great, you know, to say no. The least. I think they're missing some pieces that would make this more interesting. And, you know, we'll see where they're going. And they've got some new guys. I mean, you know, we didn't really even talk about their match too much, but the six-man with Anzai and Inoue, those guys are going to be great. Yes. And, like, you've got players that you could have here. You've got talent that are young coming up. I love what they're doing with them. If they could just get a little bit more depth in the divisions in general, both of them, the junior and the heavyweights, I think that you can bring something out and do some good things, but they have to actually care about them, which, again, considering who's steering the ship right now, it definitely feels like that's not a very big priority. So we're going to need people on the junior division themselves to kind of take it in their own hands, and it feels like this is a good step forward towards that. So hopefully it plays out. Again, we don't know how it's going to play out, if there's going to be a league or not, but I think it's a great idea to at least give them that. And that would be something I would do in the future. I'd say, look, we're going to have this junior champion carnival. It's going to be our prestigious tournament, and we're going to make it mean something. But if they just do it, like you said, the junior battle of glory, that's like a lot of times it would just be like a 2-night deal. You know, like one night they do one, and then the next night they finish it out. They need to have a full league, I think, to really get things over for the fans.
Yeah, I felt really bad for Yuma Anzai and for Ryo Inoue because they were in this match with the old guys on the show in Sanyo. It was Masanobu Fuchi, Atsushi Onita, and Yuma Anzai defeating Jinsei Shinsaki, Masao Inoue, and Ryo Inoue. Of course, when Anzai and Inoue, Ryo that is, of course, were in the ring together, there was fire because, of course, these two guys are competing with one another as being from the same dojo. Anzai is, of course, going to be a heavyweight, while Inoue is going to be a junior. But they brought some fire to this match, except for that there wasn't very much to this. And but I just came across, that's something that I tweeted out yesterday too. Anzai, you can really see that they are really high on this guy because just from the names he has been in the ring with in his first five matches. In his first five matches, he wrestled Yuji Nagata, Minoru Suzuki, then was in a 8-man tag facing Kento Miyahara and Takao Nomura. Then this match with Onita, Fuchi, Jinsei Shinsaki, Masao Inoue, and of course then once again teaming with Yuji Nagata. So they have high hopes for him, and he's showing a lot of talent.
Yeah, very young in his career, but I love what he brings to the table. If there's been any tests in these first few matches, he's passed all of them. And it seems like he's definitely going to be a player sooner rather than later. I think they have a really high hopes for him. And I think he's going to, like I said, he's going to be a big guy eventually, not in the near future.
Yeah.
But I think that he's definitely going to be a big time prospect, even more than, and in a way I really love a lot. I think he's going to be a great worker, you know, as well. I don't know about star potential or anything like that with him, but I think he's at the very least going to be somebody I always enjoy. Unless they turn him into a voodoo murderers guy, in which case I'll have to start not liking him too, which I don't want to do because he's really good. I don't want to see him have bad matches. I want to see him have good matches, which is what he usually does. So these two young guys, I think they're two gems, you know, and they have to really, you know, nurture them well so they can keep shining and shine brighter as they grow into their full potential. And I think the potential is very high with both of them.
Did you see anything else from the show? I haven't yet. I only watched the two main matches.
Of like the one that happened today?
Yeah.
Wow.
You haven't?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so they had this All-Asia Tag Match. Hikaru Sato and Dan Tamura defended against Yusuke Kodama and Seigo Tachibana. They had the Strong Hearts on this show as well, so that's interesting at least. Maybe they can get Issei Onitsuka for their Junior League 2. That would be great.
And, bring them all in. But put all the Star Cards in the Junior League, except for Irie, because he's too big. But yes. Everyone else, bring them all in and fill it out.
What I noticed on this show, it was in Osaka, the Bodyguard was on the show, but Zeus was not. and I looked up his Twitter. He wasn't like having a show for Osaka Pro. He was at some kind of event in Osaka, of course, with some Osaka Pro guys promoting their stuff. But very noticeable was that he was absent from this show. When we talked about him buying Osaka Pro, we presumed that he will be continuing wrestling for All Japan Pro Wrestling. And I think he did one show, but for the most part, there is really no sign of Zeus in All Japan anymore, which is really sad because he was a big player for them.
He had to take things to the streets, Striga.
Yeah.
Promote Osaka Pro. He didn't have time for this All Japan show. He doesn't have time to associate. He doesn't want to associate with promotions that have voodoo murders. It's inside of them. I think that's the real fact of it. And I understand that decision completely. But as a fan, yeah, I mean, I love Zeus as a fan. Like I said, if it were up to me, he would always be doing stuff in every promotion. You know, like every company could use Zeus, in my opinion. I don't know about business or whatever, but just in terms of wrestling, he's very good. And I like him, and I miss him as well. But, you know, instead we got Bodyguard, who I did not miss nearly as much, unfortunately. So, yeah. But they put an effort in. Like they tried. They got an Osaka guy to be on here. So they put an effort in. But it just wasn't who we wanted. We wanted Zeus, and instead we got Bodyguard. So it's a little bit of a drop off. But shout out to Zeus. Whatever he's doing, I hope for the best for OPRO and Legacy Company and Legacy. Maybe not a Legacy guy at Zeus, but he is a very good talent that I wish we could see more of.
They are doing one more show this month in Shinkiba, October 30th, All Japan Halloween Mania X, with some nice matches there on. One match that popped out to me is that Yuma Anzai will be facing Naoya Nomura. That could be really good. Otherwise, Kento Miyahara and Rising Hayato against the Aoyagi brothers and some more that looked okay on paper, but not really noticeable. Not really we have to talk about anything about that. Then the Real World Tag League is beginning on November 13, and it runs all the way to December 12 with the following teams in the tournament. They once again have this one block system. Shotaro Ashino and Rukyu Honda, Kento Miyahara and Takuya Nomura, Suwama and Kono, Jake Lee and Yuma Aoyagi, Shuji Ishikawa and Cyrus, Jun and Rei Saito, Yuji Nagata and Yuma Ansai, Koji Doi and Kuma Arashi. And I'm just looking at the final day of action, but there is no match that really pops out 18, to me. So
there's only so far we can go with only eight teams.
yes, that is absolutely true. We'll see who wins this. Just like we said, the logical thing to do would be Honda and
I think it's gonna be Jake and Yuma that wins.
Yeah, could be too.
Well, I think that they don't see a lot in Ashino, like for whatever reason. Even though I do, but I think they don't. Based on how they treat him, and this is another case of that.
Yeah, true.
And I think that this whole switch ultimately is actually just to flip the titles onto Jake and Yuma and try and make them seem bigger. Like maybe like beat an unpopular act instead of one that's actually getting over, so it kind of makes them look better. You know, if they beat the Gungnir of Anarchy, as they are known, if they beat them, you'll have some fans be like, man, we really like that title reign. But with Voodoo Murders, you're going to be like, yes, like new champions. Like nobody wants to see Voodoo Murders win. So I think that that's kind of their thinking. And I don't like this either. Like I don't like Jake and Yuma as a tag team. And more specifically, I don't like Yuma teaming with Jake. I mean, it feels like he's so far from where he was earlier this year. And like even lower than he was in the last 2 years where he was teaming with Kento, which felt like a much better team and high profile spot. Because Jake is just, I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't know about Jake right now. He's a guy
somewhere in the between, doing really nothing. Tag title would be the best for him because then he at least has something.
Yeah, but I don't think he's that great. Is the problem?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, like I said, like I mean, Yuma, I think is really great and should be doing so much more. Like Jake, it's like if Jake's not doing anything, that's not a big deal to me. like you know, like I mean, no offense to him, but it's not like I'm not losing sleep over if he's doing something or not with his current run. He's a guy, like, if it were up to me, there'd be, like, a complete, like, breakdown of his character. Like everything changes, like, with him. He feels like he needs a total restart, and even then, it's going to be a ways away. Because I actually always liked him before, like, the Total Eclipse stuff.
Yeah.
I thought he was a really good worker, and he's a guy that a lot of
people... The heel turn completely broke him.
And it started off, like, where everybody was excited for it. And like, you know, but unfortunately, I think that the turn really was a big, big, big mistake, like in hindsight, or at least how they did it and how they executed it for the year or so that it lasted. And I mean, just his faction just dissolving with no fanfare definitely didn't help either, I would say. But yeah, he's a guy that I just, you know, I don't love what he's doing lately. So hopefully, if anything, this team will get him back on track. But I don't want Yuma's role to be rehab Jake Lee. Like, he should be doing his own great things on his own. But, you know, that's kind of where my vibe is on it. I think that they'll win the tournament. You know, I don't think they see a ton of Nashino. I think, you know, Honda, he's going to be a guy that's going to be interesting to watch around Champion Carnival, what they're going to do with him. Because I really like him as a character, his wrestling. I think he's a great talent. But, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, All Japan coming up. Before this tag title switch, I would have said, you know, there's good and bad about All Japan, but the titles are stabilized now. If you look at all of them, they're all in the right hands. And I think that's a sign of a good promotion. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I look at the titles, and you can usually see how the promotion's doing. You know, and you had Aoyagi, Gungnir of Anarchy, and then Kento as champion. Okay, those are all good champions. We've got a base to build this promotion around.
Hey, you're forgetting the prestigious Gaara TV title that is still in the hands of Toshitsu.
Oh, yeah, well, I mean, listen, Battle Arts, so, but Voodoo Murders as well. But the TV title's so low, and, you know, it's nothing that's a difference maker in the promotion, I would say, thankfully. But they have a good base to build the promotion around. Now with this Voodoo Murder stuff, I feel like that base is really, it was stabilized, and now it's really on shaky ground again, and things could take a turn for the worse, even worse than we have it now. Like, who's to say that somebody might not challenge for the Triple Crown in a few months? It's not like they have anybody built up to take the title from Kento right now.
No.
Even heading into the Champion Carnival. I mean, like, you know, they've got a little time. They've got a few months to do it. But I think that's something they really need to think about. Who are they going to build up to be this Champion Carnival winner? Because I think there's no obvious name at this point, and nobody that feels really ready.
That is, like, I couldn't tell you who would be winning, except for go with Yuma once again and do what you didn't this year.
Yeah, what they should have done like this year, and we'd all be a lot better off for it, but instead they did this other stuff. But if Nomura's in it, I think he'll be the favorite, but they already had a title shot with him and Kento because they did it one day after the Budokan show, which was mind-boggling in and of itself. So who's to say at this point? Like, who knows? And I think that's a big problem right now. They need to determine where ultimately, because Kento, he's a great champion, and you know, there's nothing wrong with him, and he's a great talent. He's really proven himself to be a guy that he's a proven difference maker to this company in every factor, the in-ring, the business. He makes a difference. We just saw with the Sumori match, it did much better than expected. I don't know if we'd be seeing the same if Suwama was champion, like as with him, but they ultimately have to move on to someone else. Like, this title right needs to be to elevate someone else at the end of it. And they need to and there, like you said, there's just no clear-cut person for that right now. But they do have a few months. Hopefully they can get their ducks in a row and they're able to pull it out by the carnival and they can find their next champion. And hopefully it's not like last year where they have their next guy and then they just totally, like, fumble it and just... They didn't just fumble it at the goal line. They fumbled it and then, like, kicked it into their own end zone and got a safety on themselves. It's such a bad, bad way of handling it. So hopefully that doesn't happen again.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to be more positive on that end, Dylan, but it ultimately is what you say. It's a real weird decision-making on every level. And it once again feels like what it felt like in the middle of the year, that they were on a good path with the tag title, for example, here. And then they just had this idea and went back to the Voodoo Murders once again. And it always feels like there's a struggle within this company what direction they want to go with. And this one is not the one to go with, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I wish somebody had I wish somebody would stand up, like, on whoever's struggling against this and trying to do good things will speak up more strongly as time goes along. Because we need that person to win out, this anti-Voodoo Murders voice in All Japan. We need whoever that is to stand up and do the right things and try to force it the best they can. But like I said, it feels like, you know, I'm kind of losing hope that that's going to happen anytime soon, because I think either way we're going to end up in the same place we always are, which is Suwama being the focus of the company. And that's kind of my feeling on All Japan at the moment, is that we keep doing the same things. How many times can we get burned? You know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. So if I expect different results, am I the crazy one?
Yeah, well, that's the definition, right?
Exactly. So, you know, I'm just like banging my head against this wall over and over, wanting new people to rise up, and it's never happening. So, I mean, we'll see. Like I said, I think ultimately the end game for this particular tag team deal is just to put over Jake and Yuma, but that's still not a good enough excuse, like, to be honest. And I don't even like that team, just because I don't want Yuma associated with Jake at all. So I don't know why they're doing that. I think that they've... I really do wonder what they think about Yuma deep down. Like, what do they see in him? What made them go this route? Because somebody, they must have seen something in him to have them win the carnival. So how did he end up at this point just a few months later, to where he's lower than he was the last
year? Much like I said, I feel like there's lots of back and forth going on backstage between those who think that Yuma is the guy to go with and those who in the end ended up on top, basically, with Suwama being the guy for Budokan.
And even not just with Yuma, like I said, same thing with Ashino, where he's had multiple stop start, even just in the tag title scene this year. Like, we've had, remember him and Suwama, I thought that was a great team. Like, because Suwama winning there had a purpose to elevate Ashino. Mm-hmm. This, you're not elevating Kono. We hope.
No.
Like, I would say, you know, but you're definitely not going to elevate him in the fans' eyes, even if you try to make him a main event player. So I just, that, and they went away from all that. They made the sudden change to him and Honda. Great. And, like, they struck gold with this. It was a really good team, and hopefully they do continue. But like I said, I really worry about his future in terms of being a main player. It feels like he's always going to be in this. He's going to keep hitting his head on this glass ceiling, it feels like. And I hope Honda doesn't get stuck with him, because I think he can be a legitimate main eventer if they take care of him. He's another guy, like, much like we said with Inoue and Anzai earlier. I mean, Honda's only like 22, right?
Yeah, he's like, very young.
Yeah, like, he's got a ton of potential. He's already great. Like, he's already one of the best people in the company. So he's a guy that you can mold into a main event player in another year or two, if they take care of it. Probably 2 or 3 years with, you know, maybe a little bit slower burn or whatever, if they wanted to handle it that way. But still, he's a future main event player. I don't want to see him get stuck in this, you know, hamster wheel that Ashino and it appears now, unfortunately, Yuma is running on. They need to get these guys off of that and move forward, in my opinion.
What we will be doing is we are also going to move forward, Dylan, to our next topic here. We talked about All Japan in depth, and we're going to move towards DDT now. DDT, they had their God Bless DDT show in Kuroken Hall this past weekend in front of 701 fans. Before we go to that show, I want to go back to the weekend before. They had two shows in Sapporo, of which I watched some matches, and I definitely want to give a shout out to the Hideki Okatani versus Koki Iwasaki match. Iwasaki, usually a guy that wrestles mainly in Ganbare Pro, but was trained in DDT, is one of the original DNA guys, and he was on this two-day tour with DDT. Really liked the match that he had with Okatani. Okatani is just able to wrestle with a lot of these young guys, whether it be Cannon, Yuya Kuroku, Yuki Ishida, and now here Koki Iwasaki. Had a good match. Of course, not like a great crowd or anything, no really heated match, but just a cool match between two young guys on this card. Then they had a very good match in the main, I thought, with Hari Mao, Katsutada Iguchi, and Naomi Yoshimura defeating Akito and Yukio Sakaguchi, where Akito took out Iguchi's leg for most part of the match. Really liked that. And on the second day, they also, in the main event, they had a match where Eruption, Hideki Okatani, and Yukio Sakaguchi teamed with Koki Iwasaki to take on Higuchi, Yoshimura, and Yuki Ishida, so the entire Hari Mao stable. And Sakaguchi KO'd Higuchi with two, right knee of God, right? And he just stood over a fallen Higuchi while who was it who took the pinfall? I don't know. I forgot. But definitely he stood over fallen Higuchi while his teammate was pinned in the end. So that was a good build-up to the main event for this God Bless DDT show in Kurken. And in the main of that, Katsusada Higuchi defended his title against Yukio Sakaguchi, his senior, his senpai from their Eruption days, in 16 minutes with a brain claw slam. Higuchi came out with his former Eruption gown and placed it over the post of his corner, of his red corner, while Sakaguchi had the blue corner. And this match you can basically divide into three parts. The first part was the formula that I really love a lot, that I talk a lot about when I get the chance to, the formula of one guy trying to take away the other guy's strengths. And Sakaguchi, of course, also a strike-based guy, but can be a guy that lives by his submissions. And he tried to ground Higuchi in the first third of this match with various holds, cobra clutches, triangle chokes, cross arm breakers and stuff. Then in the second third of the match, we saw them being on a similar level where they showed their explosiveness in strikes. And the third part of the match then was Higuchi being completely dominant over his senior and then putting him away with a brain claw slam. He was hesitant to do that to his senpai because he respects him very much so, of course, but he had to do it to overcome him, and in the end won the match clearly for his fourth defense of the title. Really loved the match, Dylan.
Yeah, you know, just to back up to what you were saying originally, I thought it was really cool that Iwasaki is in DDT. I've always been a big fan of his, even in the DNA days. I hope he does more with DDT, gets a bigger little bit of a spotlight, because I think he's a really good performer. You know, it's funny you were talking about him like this young guy, but to me, I kind of think of him more as a veteran at this point. You know, like he's been around for all these years. He's like 31 years old.
That so. Is true, yeah, yeah.
yeah. Like I said, I think of him more of a veteran these days. But I mean, he's not that old, so it's not like he's like this, you know, been around for decades or anything like that. I think of him different than Okatani. I kind of think Okatani is a new generation.
But, yeah, yeah.
You know, Okatani, good worker. Like, I really like him. He's done great. Ever since they went to Eruption, I think he's really taken a big step forward. So, yeah, I like that match a lot. I made sure to check it out when he came in there because I used to love DNA a lot, and I really thought that he did a good job. This stuff with the main event of God Bless, I thought the match itself, everything about it was really great, I thought. Like, a really amazing match. You know, I thought that they did a great job. Higuchi, again, to me, of all the companies, he's kind of the champion I'm most excited about it into right now. I think he's the best champion in any of the major companies.
I agree.
You know, I love what he's doing. They've done a great job. But not just his work, but how they built him up with things like this. The Sakaguchi match was obviously, you know, they were going to use their history in it. But I thought they did it in a fantastic way. You know, you mentioned the stuff with the gown. Even as he pinned him, it felt like he had tears in his eyes.
Yeah, he had.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, you know, how great is that? Like, that shows you what a tremendous performer this guy is in general. Like, he's quickly becoming one of the top players in Japan, just in terms of match quality and quality of work. I think he's really elevating himself. And he was always a great wrestler. I think, you know, in our hearts, I think we think he could have been this good years ago if they wanted to give him a run, you know. But now he's doing it, and he's even being even better than he was before now as an all-around player, and showing that next year. That, again, it's not like I think it was some big secret. I think we all thought he was a great wrestler in general. But he's showing it with this main event run and this title run. I think this match was a really fantastic performance for both men. I love the style of it, how they worked it. You know, there was no real, like, wasting time or anything like that in it. They did everything they needed to. They got all of the story points they needed. They had some good hard-hitting action. Like you said, Sakaguchi tried to have a little bit more of a style to break him down, like chop down the mountain, pretty much, as I say. And I thought they worked it really good, and Higuchi ended up winning. This was a really great performance and a match that made the whole show worthwhile, like, to me. Like, just seeing this one big main event match is, you know, no matter what else is going on, I think now he's become this kind of level of guy, similar to where Takeshita was in his big run, to where he was like, no matter what's going on, you can always count on him.
Yeah.
And I think Higuchi is also that guy now, like, where it's like, no matter what happens, you can always count on him.
I was just going to make that same comparison, because this is one of the key points that I noted down that I wanted to talk about with you, because I really think that Higuchi's reign, I'm looking just through the reigns that we had in recent years, I think both from the build-up, from the inbuilt storylines within the title run and the in-ring, I think this is the best title run in years. Just look at the matches that Higuchi has had up until this point. He won the title in the King of DDT final in an amazing match against the guy that would then become his tag team partner in Naomi Yoshimura. Then he defended it against Tetsuya Endo in what we called one of the best matches that Endo has been in years and years. Then he had this amazing match with former champion Konosuke Takeshita. Again, inbuilt storyline. The former champion had just returned from America, challenged the champion, and the champion just beat him. Then he had this impromptu title match with Shinya Aoki, which was great in and of itself, completely different style. And now he beat his former senpai. What an amazing run this guy is on.
And not even that long of a time, really. You know, it's been a few months at the end of the day. Yeah, I mean, most of the title reigns are pretty bad. If you look at them the past couple of years, like, it's always like Endo is champion and stuff, and mm-hmm. I'm never really into that. So I think he's definitely a huge upgrade over what they were doing before. I will definitely say that. Like I said, to me, it's always been like, with DDT the last few years, really, I've always kind of had the same feeling, and actually business also plays it out this way, that when Takeshita's on top, things are really good, and when he's away, they really don't have a lot going for them. And I think that's kind of how it always plays out over and over. And now it feels like they're finally getting serious with, like, you know, okay, no more Endo. Like, we're doing something different now. And, like, we're getting somebody that we're hopefully building up. I mean, they're still not a hot company, like, even with him as champion, no. Like, unfortunately.
Yeah, but these Kurikans always, like, in the 700 range, not really doing great business. Unlike, for example, Dragon Gate, they always draw around 1,000 in Kurikan these days.
And there's, like, to me, I kind of look at them as somewhat similar, that they have their established loyal fan base that will swear by DDT.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know. Like, you know, we'll have to see where they go in the future. But I think that this is a good, again, much like I said about Aoyagi in the junior division in All Japan, I think this Higuchi reign, that's the thing. It's like you said, like, this is this epic title run, but again, it's only been a couple of months. To me, there's still this is the first step on, if they keep doing what they're doing, by next Peter Pan, that things will be, you know, they'll be able to take a step forward as a promotion. But I think they still have to keep down this road, and it's one of those things where, to me, I said it before, and I still strongly believe it. To me, he needs to have a long title reign.
Yeah, and that's where I fear that they might not do that, because when you look at the title reigns in recent years, I think Mark, Monkey Buckles, has said it about the tag title. They love their 90-day title reigns. And even with the main title, they have had short reigns in recent years. For example, then, yeah, the longest one, of course, with Endo, 252 days. But except for that, then there was Takeshita with his 11 days run. Endo then for 86 days, of course, because of his injury. But even before that, Takeshita in his fourth reign, 111 days. Endo before that, 102 days. The worst thing they could do now is interrupt Higuchi's reign for whatever new idea they can come up with.
I mean, you know, you have to have your, you know, there's flags up because they have the tournament coming up. So you
yeah,
know,
always.
Yeah, that's an easy way. Like if somebody wins the tournament, they can win the title. But I mean, they haven't always done that. Even last year, like they didn't do that. So you know, it's not a foreseen conclusion. But to me, he should be the champion for a good while. I think that he's doing great stuff here. And like I said, I think it's working. Like I think we're seeing the fans getting emotionally invested, even though it's not playing out in attendance or whatever. I think that if they keep doing what they're doing, you know, in 6 months or whatever, you know, like I said, hopefully by Peter Pan, I think, you know, in general, I think the best thing you can do is always think big picture. You know, always think about where you're going for that next big, big show. Or maybe even because they also announced that they're going to do a show on WrestleMania weekend as well in America, along with a team-up show with GCW as well the day after, which may not be a big of a show for me, but it'll be something for them to do in America. So they might look at that as their next big show, more so than Peter Pan, is the WrestleMania weekend shows. If they can keep him as champion until then, I think we can see things do good for the company in general. But I think the company itself is more of an issue than anything him as a champion. So hopefully they can get things in order. And Higuchi, wonderful champion, love what he's doing. I thought the match was great against Sakaguchi. And, you know, we'll see where they go. Like you said, hopefully they don't interrupt this title reign. Because I think there's a lot of gas left in the tank with him, even now.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Then there was another title match on this show with Yuki Ueno defending his Universal title against the Shining Ball of the Pheromones, Dylan's favorite stable, of course. Koji Takeda, 15-24, Yuki Ueno won it with the WR coming off of a dropkick to the back of Takeda. What do you think about the match?
Well, you know me, Striga. If there's one thing I'm known for, it's that I love all of this Pheromone stuff. And yes. Of course, I was so excited to see this.
Much like you love the Voodoo Murders.
Well, I mean, that kind of goes against all the stuff I said earlier. Whereas I thought I made my opinions pretty clear that I wasn't too happy with all that, to be honest. But maybe there was some doubt. You know, there's some ambiguity that I've had there. But, you know, this match was good. I thought, you know, Ueno, here's the thing with him. I really like Ueno a lot, and he's awesome. But I do think that he's lost something from where he was last year.
I agree.
Yeah, so like because last year I thought like this is the guy. Like you're like this could be the leader of the company. This could be an amazing worker. And I thought like in terms of in-ring, he probably had one of the better years of anybody last year. You know, you look at the tag match at the Cyber Fight Fest, mm-hmm. his great matches with Okada, like the stuff at the end of the tournament. I thought he did a fantastic job winning the tournament. Great match with Takeshita. So he had a lot going for him. Here, I think this whole match to me felt kind of like not that big of a deal. Takeda did put a lot of effort in, coming in. I thought he did some good dives and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the Pheromones were in there too, so he kind of fought the whole group. You know, Ueno did more than just Takeda.
Yeah, then Sona Kamina came in too, and they went off backstage, and that happened. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So they finally went back to the regular match and stuff like that. But it was a solid match, but I didn't think it was like that special.
Yeah, the thing about I agree with you when you talk about his year, and I think he suffers from what a lot of guys actually in DDT suffer from. I think he is a similar case to Tetsuya Endo and, of course, also to Mao to some degree, because I think, I mean, these guys are very young. Yuki Ueno, of course, is 27, but still has ways to go before he reaches his prime. And it feels to me like they are like kind of finding out what kind of wrestler they want to be. And right now, I think Ueno is doing a lot of spectacular stuff, but I have issues getting into his matches because there is so much of the spectacular stuff. And right now in his title run, just not that much to hold on to this real threat his matches are going by, you know, when I talk about. And I think we could see that to a degree in this Takeda match, even though they went for this match and they had this idea of everything you can do, I can do better. For example, with the drop kicks that they threw at one another, they did that with some of the high spots they did. But that's really, I don't know if that's enough for a big title match in this situation. And I agree with you. I thought it was a match that you can label good, but on the lower end of good, maybe. I also think that Ueno is missing this final spark that we're looking for. And I don't know, I don't really like the finish of this, because that made Takeda look really bad, because he came off this one comeback in the end. Then he posed for the fans, got a drop kick into the back, and then the WR. No idea why they did it like that, but yeah, I agree with you when it comes to Ueno.
And they're not doing a lot to really make it, like, set him up for brilliance this year either. You know, like, look at his title reign. His title win was over Takanashi. That was okay. Mm-hmm. Cara Noir, that was okay. This against Takeda, that was okay. Like, you're not putting him against top-level talents, I feel like, either, you know, that he was having last year. Like I said, in the tournament, remember last year in that tournament, the final match against Takeshita, you know, he lost that, but he had a great match. The match against Akiyama, I thought, was like a fantastic match that he actually won. And it felt like he was on the verge of really doing great.
I mean, what they went for in this match, of course, is that these two had history with one another. They were six-man tag champs together. They showed it in the video beforehand. They wrestled in DNA together as a tag team. But then you'd think that there would be some more energy between these two, except for just going through with emotions.
Yeah, I just think Takeda is like an indie guy. Like, he's not special.
Of course he is.
To me. Like, plus, like I said, they were trying to make it more with the whole group than necessarily a one-on-one match. So it wasn't like this was so, like you said, yeah, they have that history, but they didn't really play off of that at all, even in how they worked it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the point here. And so, yeah, here we go on with this title run. No idea where this really is heading. You, anyway, is champion for the second time now. This title, it's, I don't know what the end game of this championship can ultimately be, because it's just the secondary title. And usually in DDT, these titles have a meaning. With the Extreme title, for example, we have that. But this one is just feels so useless at the point.
Yeah, you know, I think that his first reign was a lot better, again, when they did it. You know, after that, we saw a lot of a little bit of dysfunction with the titles. You had that, you know, Sasaki had the belt, and then you had Mao. And, like, again, like, the matches, they're just not putting top-tier talent in these matches for some reason surrounding him. So I think that for whatever reason that's happened, if they could really bring something out of him, maybe this tournament, you know, it'll be a way to really, you know, light a fuse in Ueno, because I think he needs it going into the next year, because I definitely think he's taking a big step back from where he was. So hopefully they can get him, because I still really like him. He's a great talent. You know, he's another DNA guy. I always thought he was the man in DNA, yep. And he really got to show it last year. Unfortunately, they have not been able to follow up very accurately. And then, like I said, that can give you, you know, fears for other guys, you know, right now with it. So hopefully they can get things together, because I still believe in him as a talent really strongly.
Yes, we had a really cool six-man tag. Underneath that, Naomi Yoshimura, Yuji Hino, and Chris Brooks defeated Tetsuya Endo, Mao, and Yukio Naya. Brooks, he wrestled, he did kind of knuckle locks with Mao, and then there's this great gif online where they wrestle around and do holds, and suddenly Chris Brooks bursts out this short pile driver on Mao. That looks great. And in the end, Brooks also won it with an Onryo clutch on Yukio Naya, who looked great, by the way. Once again, he faced his regular tag team partner, Yuji Hino. And ever since teaming with Yuji Hino, the mean streak of Yukio Naya really got to show.
Yeah, I thought the match was pretty good. I liked everybody, actually, in the match. I thought they did a pretty good job in their roles. It's nice to see Hino kind of get in this little spot here against these other guys who have gotten a lot of focus over the years. Whether it's Mao, Yoshimura, Brooks, Naya, it's like, Indo. Putting him in there, I think Hino's a guy they really haven't been able to figure out what to do with, period, in a lot of ways. And I like that he was in this mix here. I thought he added something. Everyone did good, I would say. Again, it's not anything I would say rush out to go see, but for a mid-card six-man match, good build-up for the tournament. I liked it a lot. I thought everybody did good, and all six of them are... Well, like I said, I like some more than others, but they're good talents for the company, and hopefully they can have big runs going forward.
The main focus of the other six men that I want to talk about is Akiyama, Yusuke Okada, and Yuya Kuroko against Osamu Nishimura, Shinichiro Kawamatsu, of course, this politician from the Tokyo area, and Yuki Ishida. Was the finish of that with a real great-looking triangle lancer takeover from Kuroko against Ishida. Much like Hideki Okatani, these two are very special in-ring talents, and they showed it once again here. Amazing finish. Like what they are doing with these two, they are like pairing them in their groups. Kuroko, of course, in Burning, and Ishida is in the group for Higuchi and in Yoshimura, Okatani in Eruption. That's something that we forgot to talk about, Dylan, in the main event. The gown. After the match, after he beaten his senpai, Higuchi gave his gown, his former Eruption gown, to Hideki Okatani. So he basically passed on his legacy in this group to the young guy in the group.
Yeah, that's a great thing, at the end of the day. So that's really cool. And they have a wealth of young talent here in DDT, I have to say. We talked about it in All Japan a little bit. Maybe the depth isn't always there. But in DDT, you have a lot of great talent, whether it's these guys, Okatani, Masada, I think is going to be a wonderful talent as well going forward. You're getting all kinds of new people popping up and young, really young and youthful talent. And I think it helps the promotion's identity to have all this youthful, this youth movement in the company.
Yes, and adding to that was the opening match of this show, actually, with Kasuma Sumi making his debut against Katsuki Hirata in a little under 9 minutes. And there are some GIFs circling online of him doing real great stuff with Hurricane Runners and stuff in his debut match, actually. And Jay of Dragon Gate just tweeted out something that I thought was funny, and we talked about that off the air too, because Case Law, of course, on your show, on the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame show you did, he mentioned that Dragon Gate fans view DDT as a company where guys go that aren't as talented. And Jay tweeted out that, yes, Katsuma Sumi is a dropout from the Dragon Gate dojo, so... Hit the nail on the head.
Maybe someone was listening when we said that, because that statement got proven one day later. But yeah, he one match in, he looked good. Going to be another great young talent for DDT. I think Hirata is a great first opponent too. I really think he's like a really underrated wrestler. He's always stuck in the comedy stuff, but he's such a good overall talent. I think that I've always wanted him to have a more serious run and to see how it would go, because I really think he's a great in-ring performer in general, just a wrestler. And we saw that again against the young Sumi. Like I said, great young talent, one match in. You can't make any determinations off of that, but he's going to be a guy, one of many they have, and I think he has a very bright future ahead of him in DDT.
Yes, and then there's, of course, Cannon in Damnation TA, and Toi Kojima in Sona Kamina. So they have all their young guys really well placed in all these groups. And there was this discussion too on Twitter, again with Mark, with Marky Buckles. I came across that where they said, I don't know who made the initial point, but I joined in there. The system of training rookies in DDT and in Dragon Gate these days seems so vastly superior to what New Japan Pro Wrestling is doing these days. Of course, the Young Lions system always provides these great matches that are really the core of what New Japan in the beginning, the idea of New Japan was supposed to be. But Mark also made this graph on Twitter where he said that these excursions over the last couple of years are getting longer and longer and longer, and these guys return mostly when they are in their early 30s. And especially with New Japan, it's really hard for these rookies to even get some footing in the company because there is always the glass ceiling for them pre-excursion, and it's always the same. They don't do anything different. If you're a rookie and you haven't been, if you're a young lion and you haven't been on excursion, you can't really achieve anything in New Japan Pro Wrestling. You have to do that in return, and then you get a gimmick, and maybe then you can achieve something. But what DDT and Dragon Gate specifically are doing seems much more timely, with the guys getting a gimmick early on, getting gear early on, and getting to do the stuff that they learned in the dojo instead of just being regulated to doing half crabs and body slams.
Well, like I said, I mean, you know, I talked about this months ago because Kidani agrees. So, yes. You know, like, I mean, you know, it's obvious. It's not like some mind-blowing point, in my opinion. Like, it's clear that they it's clear that they even see that and want to change things, which they probably needed to do for a long time. You know, in general, I think that, you know, I like the idea, like on paper, of an excursion. But how they've done them have been so bad that I think that it really is time to change things up. You know, if they just really streamline this process to where, hey, you know, you watch a guy grow. Because I think that's a big point of the Young Lion system in New Japan, is that you take this guy from nothing and you follow his journey and you watch him grow. The problem is that then he grows and then he goes away and does nothing for like 3 years. And then he comes back as this completely new character. So you're not really going into a journey with these young lions. You're just watching them, you know, as rookies, and then they go away and they come back as something way different. I think they should streamline this process, maybe a year as a young lion, year or two maybe, and then a year of excursion somewhere, and then come back. And then, like, it's the same guy, maybe he's got new gear, you know. Have that process that you follow these guys and grow with them as a fan. I think there's value in that. Just how they've done it has been so bad that I think it definitely feels like that it's really hampered a lot of their young talent. And that's why they don't have any, like pretty much, that are any kind of star players right now that are really doing it. Where we say every time, even when we talked about G1, we were saying, hey, who's the next young guy coming up? And there really is not, you know, there really is nobody at the moment. And hopefully, I mean, it seems like they've at least avoided Narita getting a crazy gimmick or anything like that. It feels like he's just going to be himself, and that's great. Yes. You know, that's a step forward.
That's the first one in years, actually, that doesn't get this wild gimmicks of being Master Wato or evil or a boy band. He just gets to be himself. Great Okan, yeah.
Yeah. Who was the boy band member?
Oh, Sho and Yo.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, kind of like, yeah. Yeah, totally right. The idol wrestlers. Kind of. But, yeah. So, yeah, he's just a normal guy. Like, he's a Ren Narita, the same guy that we saw, like, as a rookie. And now he's his same self again. But even still, though, I do think he was away for a little too long. I wish that they would have brought him back sooner. So, again, you can follow the journey more so than anything else. Because I think that's something you don't have in your Dragon Gate or your DDT. But you can still do that. Because, I mean, I think you can still say that these guys are on journeys in a lot of ways in DDT. Just they're allowed to do more stuff. So it's interesting. I can get behind that. Like I said, I think they need to tweak the Young Lion deal in New Japan and some of these other companies. Like you said, let them grow a little bit, let them do more. Maybe encourage them to do more. I think that was a big point for Kidani, is that in his own other company in Stardom, we've seen people like, say, for example, Tal Saya, Saya Kamatani, where she was encouraged to do everything she could, even if she messed up a lot early on, and to that point to where she would hopefully grow and be able to do all of these things much better and become a complete wrestler, you know, as years go by. and she's somebody that they've really pushed a lot and become a big star very quickly in a much, you know, much faster way than you would ever see in a New Japan. And I think that really opened Kidani's eyes and maybe some other people's eyes in New Japan that, like, hey, like, this system, you know, it needs to change. And that's all there is to it.
That's true. Yeah, I guess so much for DDT. Anything else that you wanted to talk about with the company?
Higuchi's a great champion. That's the main thing with them right now. I'm not super excited about them as a company still, but him as champion is really great, and I think that's enough to carry it.
Also, don't want to miss talking about Takeshi Masada real quick when mentioning their young talent. I think he's really good. Really shows a lot of talent in his first matches. He was in with Harashima, teaming with him against Soma Takao and Hikaru Mashida. This I think he's a boxer, and he really showed that he has some strikes, some good strikes. He can hold up with a lot of the veteran wrestlers on the roster. So this guy also looks promising. Yeah, so very cool roster that they have assembled right now. Yeah, that's DDT. I guess we could go to the NOAH show next weekend, briefly talking about the card and what we expect for that. In the end, Dylan, they are doing their Ariake Triumph, their return, Pro Wrestling Love Forever 3 Triumph on, Sunday? It's Sunday, yes, next Sunday, from the Ariake Arena. 10 matches or 11 matches listed. Dark match, Kai Fujimura against Taishi Osawa, their latest rookie. Then opening match, Shuhei Taniguchi, Alejandro and Extreme Tiger against Manabu Soya, Shuji Kondo and Hajime Ohara. Daiki Inaba and Yohei team up against Jack Morris and Dante Leon. Third match, Noshinari Ogawa, Chris Ridgway and Yasutaka Yano against Nosawa Rongai, Eita and Super Crazy. Hideki Suzuki and El Hijo del Dr. Wagner Jr. take on Masato Tanaka and Masa Kitamiya. And then we go to the title matches. All titles are on the line on this show. Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title, Atsushi Kotoge and Seki Yoshioka defend against Tadasuke and High 69. Junior Heavyweight Singles title, Hayata against Ninja Mac. National title, Masakatsu Funaki defends against Kazushi Sakuraba. GSG Tag Team title, Takashi Sugiura and Satoshi Kojima defend against Kenno and Katsuhiko Nakajima. Pro Wrestling Love Forever 3 Triumph match on Keiji Muto's retirement road, of course. Keiji Muto, Naomichi Marufuji and Yoshiki Inamura against the New Japan contingent of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Togi Makabe and Tomoaki Honma. So Great Bash heel plus Tanahashi. And in the main, of course, Kaito Kiyomiya defends against Katsuyuki Fujita. And question right away, is Fujita winning?
You know, last month when we talked about this after the, like, he won the title originally, Kaito did, I said that to me, you know, in my heart, I know that it's possible. But in my mind, it's like, I can't even imagine it happening. It was like, you know, it's like a does not compute sign flashes when I think about Fujita winning the title. But, you know, with everything, you know, you have to say after Inoki's death, I feel like that if you're going to go back to Fujita, now would probably be that time, to be honest.
Yes.
So, you know, that kind of makes me, that definitely makes me feel more like there could be a title change occurring. And I hated that angle they did last month after he won the title. I thought it made him look so bad. Like, Kaito, right after winning the title, he's overcome, you know, he's had enough roadblocks in his career. He doesn't need more, you know, at the end of the day. But I could see it, honestly. I could see it too. Winning the title.
Yeah.
I still think Kaito should win, but I think I could see it happening that Fujita wins the title.
Yeah, and then what do we do with Fujita as champion?
You know, like that's another.
I mean, he wins the title, of course. I mean, I can see it like in the spirit of Inoki, being a great tribute for him. But what then? What is going to be the outcome? What is going to be the end game of this? Because if you put on the title on a guy like on a veteran like Fujita, you'd expect him to put over a young guy in the end, and I don't see Fujita doing that.
And on top of it, you've totally blown Kaito at that point.
You need another years of build up to erase that, if that even is possible.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, we're not sure he's going to be successful even now. Like, it may already be too late. Like, you know, like with all that he's gone through. So like I said, to me, he's far from a sure thing as champion at this point.
Mm.
You know, even if he wins. So I think that that still remains to be seen. And if he loses, to me, then it's like, that's like game over. In my opinion, like, you need to look ahead to somebody else and move forward. You know, at the end of the day, you know, if Fujita won the title, it's like, you know, I don't know, like the scene in Noah right now, it's really tough. You know, again, even if Kaito wins, there's no real immediate people that come to mind as challengers. But I think we're going to see something very similar to what we saw at the start of the year, where you're going to see a Masato Tanaka-like person, you know, challenge him.
Yep.
You know, he has some guys that he lost to in the N1 and drew with and stuff that you could look at that may be up there as title challengers. So I think that would be where we would go. Like, look at where he went there, and that's kind of where we would be in the near future if he did win.
I can see two more title changes on this show. I can see Sakuraba beating Funaki for the national title, and I can see Ninja Mac dethroning Hayada.
I still hope Kaito wins the title. In general, I'm still hopeful.
I mean, yes, I agree.
Like, you know, I can see why they would go with Fujita in this particular case, but I'm still hopeful that Kaito wins the title. The other
defends the title.
Yeah, I hope he defends the title. The other ones, I feel, don't matter. Like, to be honest with you, like, I mean, Sakuraba feels like a totally neutral move from Funaki in every way, and I like them both. Like, I think that'll be a really fun match, like, really cool. I'm a huge fan of Sakuraba, especially. I think he's kind of underrated, to be honest with you. Funaki's a fine champion. Like, there's nothing wrong with him, but he's not like lighting my world on fire either. I think it's safe to say, you know, I think that's kind of how I feel about this. You get some fresh matches maybe, but either, like, that feels like a neutral move either way.
This title is actually, when we look at it, similar to the Universal title in DDT, where, yes, you have this title and you can do matches with it. You can have the eventual great run. You can have eventual main events with it. But except for that, what's the general use of having a second heavyweight title?
I disagree with that originally, because I think they did a great job.
Originally, I agree with you.
And I think, like, throughout its run, actually, like, I think every champion has, like, to me, this title does serve a purpose, because it gives you even when Kenno was champion, you would see him use the sleeper as his finisher. They really established this as kind of the shooter's type of title. Which I think is a very fun thing to have. It gives its own identity in the promotion, which is different than the heavyweight title. The Universal title has no identity, and that's kind of the similar problem. And I think it still has that identity with Funaki and Sakuraba. That's what we're seeing. I think regardless of who wins this match, we're going to see very similar matches in the future of that. I just don't think Funaki is capturing the hearts and the minds of the people the way, like, someone like Kenno, when he was champion facing all the shooters, did a great job because people are interested in him. I think that's the problem with this right now.
You may be right with that. Maybe I'm swerved with. I like Funaki as a champion too, but this title, like, this title feels completely cold to me right now.
Yeah, and I think that's because people don't care about Funaki more so than the title doesn't have an identity.
It's hard to care about him. I mean, he's. I'm not.
Yeah, like, I mean, you're right. You know, I'm not arguing with
you. I love him. When I see, I always love his matches, but there is just not very much to the guy. He's not a very interesting character.
Well, they didn't do him a lot of favors with how they handled his Congo deal. You know, like, look, like look at how that turned out. That went totally nowhere. Like, him and Kenno, they had a somewhat, you know, at least it felt like they were setting something up with Congo. And, I mean, who knows? Like, I mean, they're going to be in the tag title deal here. Maybe this will now be the time they pull the trigger on something we've been talking about for years at this point, with Nakajima and Kenno, who's going to turn on who, Funaki coming in, who's the real leader. Like, they've done a lot of stuff with the Congo, or teased a lot, that never actually went anywhere. So I think that they're in a tough spot. Like I said, I don't think they've done favors for Funaki, and I always respect him as a wrestler. I think he's a really strong worker, even now. He's older and not as good as he used to be, but still, like I said, a fine worker, and if you used him better and had more interesting stuff, I think you could have an interesting title reign. But how they've done it, it's hard, like you said, it's very hard to care about him at this point. Mm. So I would do the title change. I would put Sakuraba in just to get some freshness, kind of see if you can get something with him. But again, he's another guy that's like a little bit older.
I was going to say, it sounds funny when you say that you get freshness in by putting the title on Sakuraba.
Yeah, it's just he's fresh because he wasn't the champion before. So, ideally you would want to have somebody a little bit younger, and I think that they have some interesting people that could do this if they really wanted to go this route, that could work these kind of style of matches if they wanted to. But instead, they just kind of go in their lane. But I mean, it's not just this title that's a problem with. It's the whole company that you see the same guys over and over, and guys that have been around for a long time that maybe aren't as interesting as they used to be. I think that's true of a lot of matches and a lot of people on the show.
Yep. Then let's look at another card. I'm not sure if we're going to do a show before November 6th once again. Maybe we'll do, maybe we won't. So I want to go through this card with you, Dylan, with the matches that we have right now.
Just one more thing, because we didn't really talk about the junior title. Ninja Mac, it feels like he could win. But with Hayata, I always have my guard up with Hayata. Yeah. Like I said, it feels like he's been champion for so long. So many times we've thought, oh, yeah, this could be when he loses the title. Ninja Mac, he is a new guy, a foreigner. Maybe they see something in that they want to utilize now. Maybe they think, hey, this is a guy that if he does good here, he might get signed up faster than we want, but in an American company. So we have to do what we can with him now, and maybe that will spur them for this title change. But to me, that's not a very interesting match just because of Hayata.
Yes, I agree with you. So the card I want to talk about is the Gate of Destiny of Dragon Gate, November 6th in Eden Arena, Osaka. They have some title matches lined up for this one, plus a special singles match for the Open the Triangle Gate Championship. The champion group, M3K, Masaki Mochizuki, Susumu Mochizuki, and Mochizuki Jr., they will defend against the Zebrats team of Shun Skywalker, Kai, and a wrestler by the name Masked Zet. So someone we don't know who that will be. So that's going to be the new incarnation, I guess, of the Metal Warrior that always is there when they do a heel stable. We have a special singles match. Takuma Fujiwara, who is in Mexico right now, he will return temporarily to Japan, and he will face Eita on this show. Then Open the Brave Gate title, Hio defends the title against Dragon Kid. And for the Open the Dream Gate Championship, Yuki Yoshioka defends against the challenger that he appointed against Yamato of high-end group that is on its last legs. Yes, good-looking card. Not really into the Brave Gate title match because I don't think that Dragon Kid is a really hot challenger for Hio. I thought that the match that he had with Jason Lee recently was really good. I would have loved to see Jason get the shot on this bigger stage.
Yeah, so they did an angle with the fake Shun Skywalker, where they played like an obvious old promo of Shun Skywalker over the mic to try and make you think it's him. But yeah, I think that's going to be that with the Zebrats deal. I think whoever that is going to be revealed finally. So we'll see who this is. Should be interesting there. The Brave Gate title, I like it because Dragon Kid doesn't really get a lot of opportunities, and I'm a huge fan of his. But you're right, though, that he's not a hot challenger in any sort of way. Hio's not a hot champion either, so it's not
that great. That's the thing about Hio. He always is on the losing end, or a lot of times is on the losing end of the six-man and eight-man matches that Zebrats have, which is really surprising because usually the Brave Gate champion is protected much more.
Yeah, so that is interesting. It feels like the title could change hands at any point, with him. I don't think he's the I think I said it even when he won the title. It's like, he's not a very good – you know, I would pick other people over him. Like, he's fine. It's cool that he gets his run, but there's a lot of other people I would put ahead of him to win the title. So, I mean, it's cool, though. Like I said, it gives you a unique champion, kind of a very vulnerable one that it feels like all of his title matches could end either way. You know, Dragon Kid probably wouldn't be the top person either, but for me, I'm a huge fan of his, so I would like it if they decided to go that route. You know, Jason Lee, I totally agree with you. I mean, that guy's one of the best wrestlers in the whole company and the whole country, really. Love what he brings to the table. Always want him in big spots and matches and things like that. The Dreamgate title match, I'm very uninterested in that. I don't think Yamato is a very interesting challenger at all.
Yeah. That's also why I think that Dragon Kid really is a cold challenger, because nothing that's going on in high end is remotely interesting.
Yeah, but we've been saying this for so many months now that like our highest yeah. class leg, but it's yes. like, to me, they're not going anywhere. I think that they're going to stick around and still be boring for months to come.
I know, but that doesn't make it any better, right?
No, no, it doesn't make it better, but they're still alive and well. It's just they're very boring.
Well, I wouldn't say they are well. Alive?
But they're alive. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
They exist, and they will continue to waste our times as viewers. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, like I said, to me, again, these aren't the greatest title challengers. I think that this is kind of really a, you don't want to say a makeshift show, but like a bridge show to the final gate, which we'll see bigger stuff, I think, happening in general. Because I've always said, at the end of the year, they always do something big to jumpstart the next year. And I think Final Gate's going to be something really big. This show, it feels like a bridge show, you know, at the end of the day, ultimately. The big thing will probably be who Max Z is, like what's going to happen. And then the title matches are just kind of there to pad out things. And like I said, I honestly think Hiyo could drop the title just because he's such a weak champion. But it's not like, you know, it's going to be this big big thing, even if he does, ultimately. And the title match, I just think, is really... Like, Naminho's not going to win the title, and I don't want to see him wrestle Yoshioka. So I don't get anything from that at all.
Didn't they also say that Naoki Doi would return for this show?
Yeah. What's up with him in DDT?
Yeah, he's going to challenge for the six-man tag team title coming up. That is going to happen. Actually, let's see when that match is taking place. I'm just looking at, of course, Dramatic DDT, best website for DDT. That's happening on November 12th in Osaka. Yuji Hino, Makoto Oishi, and Shihiro Asai, Omega, they defend against Naoki Doi, Toru Owashi, and Katsuki Hirata.
Well, love the K-Dojo history.
Yes, absolutely. More K-Dojo, man.
Yeah, we need more K-Dojo in our wrestling. I definitely agree with that. But Doi and DDT, I think that was an interesting first step for him. I think everybody kind of figured he'd just go to great with all the others. But instead, I think it's cool, though. I think it gives him something interesting to do. And it was kind of a surprise move. He's not on the show, right? This Dragon Gate deal?
Not yet. He's not announced yet, but they said he would return to this show. So I am kind of looking at maybe he is the mystery guy for Zebrats.
That would be hilarious. I mean, listen, it'd be more interesting than what he was doing before. So yes. I think that would be a big upgrade if that is him. I could get behind that, honestly. Again, he's another one of these old school type of dudes, like a Yamato, that I'm not personally that interested in all honesty. But if you gave him a new coat of paint with this heel run, and he's always been, he probably wants to be a bad guy in general, based on his career. So I could see him maybe being more invested in that than just veteran guy, which is basically what he's been for the last little while. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes in general. Like, I thought that DDT run was a real surprise move, and hopefully he can find a spark going forward, because he's a legacy guy in Dragon Gate.
He is, definitely, yes. One more thing on Dragon Gate. Another surprising move that they made was turning Benkei to gold class in a real great angle that they did. We talked about that on our prior shows. And I wouldn't have thought it, but Benkei in gold class is actually working out really well. He also recently, on October 2nd, won the Rio Championship in Ryukyu Dragon Pro Wrestling. He's carrying that title around now. And for whatever reason, he has found his mojo back. The guy is charismatic again. The guy is wrestling great matches again. They even trusted him with a mic again in Currican Hall. That's what Jay said on one of the recent shows, that for the first time in almost 2 years, he got to talk in Currican Hall, because that was some of the things that they said about him as champion. He wasn't really a great talker, but he feels like a hot deal right now in Dragon Gate, and I hope that they give him a shot at this show, give him a nice match, nice six-man tag match maybe with Minorita and Minora, with him coming out on top in the end, because he is really on a hot run right now.
He was always great. I said it all along that they made a big mistake take the title off of him. You know, I get why they had a big picture plan in mind, but it was still a mistake. And it was a much bigger mistake how they've used him the last 2 years, where he's been just in a nothing role. Again, it like I said, to me, I've never doubted his talent. It's that he's just doing uninteresting things, and I think people, unfortunately, like I said, he's a guy that got. I always nominated him for as like an underrated, like most underrated talent, because he's people just kind of were like, oh, well, he's not doing anything big, so we don't like him anymore. Like, but
yeah,
he was always talented, and now they're finally getting around to him. And like you said, gold class. I mean, they were there with high end, like for a while there, where it's yes. Like, you know, we were waiting for this group to end already because it's not doing anything good for anybody. But Benkei saved the day. You know, he's a great addition to it. He made everybody better, like in that group, because they were not doing good, but without him.
And
you know, he made himself better. He made everybody better. It was a great decision to put him in this new role. And like I said, it should have happened years ago. He never should have been floundering. He should have always been a main guy. And now they're finally getting around to doing the right thing. So now I think that they have Dragon Gate. You look at a lot of what they're doing. Shun right now is still away, but he'll be back eventually. You know, you have him, you got Benkei, Yoshioka, Dragon Daya. He's a little bit in the background right now, but he's still a great talent. You've got a lot of young guys here in Dragon Gate
that
can be.
They finally added Madoka Kikuta to D-Courage. So he's officially a member now. One of the young talents that is on the rise right now. Open the Twin Gate champion, isn't he?
With Daya,
right, yeah.
Yeah, sure. I didn't like that title change because I thought Lee and Jackie had a lot more in the personally, but you know, I get where they're going. They want to have everybody have the titles with Yoshioka, like in DeCourage. So like I get it. But I mean, I love Jackie and Jason Lee. They're like, Jason Lee's one of my favorites, so I will always be, I just as a fan, want him to have good stuff. But I like what they're doing with DeCourage though. I think they're a great group. You can kind of build the company around this group right now, and I think they've done a really good job of centering that. You know, Kobe World, I think ultimately even your biggest fans of Dragon Gate will have to say that was a flop, you know, at the end of the day. But since then, I think they've really turned it around the last couple of shows and had good stuff. This upcoming show does seem, like I said, this feels like a bridge show, but I do think that they're still headed towards great things sooner rather than later. I think Final Gate, we're going to have some real hype for it, and they're really going to get some things going because they have a lot going on good for them. I think they've done a good job of really getting some momentum going back after a really lackluster and just bad Kobe World shows.
I agree. One final thing, because it happened this past weekend, the obvious final for the IWGP Women's Title Tournament was set up in the Arena Tachikawa Taichi with 2,034 fans in attendance. Kairi defeated Alpha Female and Mayu Iwatani defeated Utami Hayashishita. So I think that's happening at the historic crossover, right? The final?
Yeah, the co-promoted show with New Japan.
Yes.
November 20th.
Right. So Kairi against Mayu Iwatani, the expected final for the new introduced championship. That title actually, I think, looks gorgeous. The question remains, we've talked about that when it was introduced, if that is going to be any legs to it, but definitely the obvious match for the final, and very promising with Kairi and Mayu going one-on-one.
The title looks awesome. I love the design. They call back to the old IWGP title, the one that looks like a crown, which is the best IWGP title, in my opinion. They try to call back to it with this new IWGP world title as well.
Will always be connected to Hashimoto.
And that's another reason why it was the best one, of course. So, yeah, so I totally agree with you on that one. But they call back to it with this women's title, and they have the star plates on the side. So it's like it's a perfect blending of like the two companies. I love what they did with the title. Whoever made whoever made that did a great job. Like you said, there was some shenanigans with the Kairi match. Alpha Female like wasn't on the show before the show, and people were wondering if they would even have their match. But they ended up doing it. And Kairi won. Mayu's had a great run in the tournament. Her match versus Momo Watanabe was so good. Amazing match with Mayu, and Mayu's just an amazing talent in general. So you're going to see great matches with her all the time. Kairi, obviously, everyone loves her. It's nice to see her. I think we all the fans just want to see her wrestle more. Is the only thing with Kairi because she hadn't wrestled since July, and so nice to have her back. So hopefully. Whatever happens, we'll see this. It's just going to depend. I think you want to talk about internal struggles. I think New Japan is going to have a lot of internal struggles right now with this title. How far will it go? We've already heard people talking about, maybe it'll be more for the international audience. They already announced some stuff there when they come to, I think, New York or whatever for the New Japan show. They're going to have some talent there, some stardom talent. Hopefully I hope they get a match at the Tokyo Dome. For this title at least, you could put something together. To me, I think...
I mean, it's year three of New Japan and Stardom being under the same roof. You can't tell me that there is no way that they can put a show, that they can put a Stardom match on the main show. If that's the one reason that they created the title for, that's really dumb and stupid.
I mean, like I said, I think that there are certain people in that company that really have high hopes for the title and see it because I think that they see that New Japan's been floundering for so long and Stardom's been successful for so long, and they've made the decision. I think that people like Akidani has made a business decision, and I think there's a lot of people that aren't very happy about that because they don't want to see.
I agree.
Yeah, like because they don't want women to be considered more valuable than the men. Unfortunately, in their company. So I think there's a lot of hurt feelings and bruised egos over this title that's going to get in the way.
And I mean, I can to a degree understand that because it's always been like that. Women and men being in their own companies in Japan. I don't think it's easy to make these changes, especially for a company that has such a long history like New Japan Pro Wrestling. But look at All Japan Pro Wrestling. They are doing that. They are training women to have them debut on whatever show that's going to be. But it looks
They claim that that's a separate promotion from All Japan, the Evolution.
Yes, they claim that, but you know.
Well, I mean, that's different. If they're going to run all women shows, and that's and like
they only have four women.
That's a good point there, too, Stringer. I think, like, fair point. You get the W on this one.
So it at least looks like that All Japan is in on this, and much like you said, it looks like that there are some guys that see their positionings going away. And that's always the case when something new gets introduced into a promotion. There is going to be someone who, in the end, is going to lose their positioning.
And also, I think that in All Japan, Suwama wants this. I feel like there's a much more, like, less controversy around that because it's
And that's the thing, idea. I think, because Suwama, he is the wrestler, and maybe this IWGP Women's title is an executive decision.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. It's clear to me, and I said this when they made the title, if they really wanted to do this, they would have done it years ago. You know, like, they had every reason to do it 3 years ago when they bought the company. The reason they didn't do it is because they didn't want to do it. Like, they didn't want women on their shows, or they would have been on the shows. Like, but like I said, Kidani sees, when he gave that interview, he sees that the company's not doing so hot. They've scaled back three shows at the Tokyo Dome weekend to one, which is great for the fans, but you know, probably pissed everybody off in the executive. You know, like, they're not happy losing all of those big Tokyo Dome shows, and they had no choice because they're not drawing, you know, at the end of the day. They see that things need to change with the Young Lions. We talked about them earlier. And, I mean, we're seeing a lot of changes. I mean, look at this work shoot deal with the Never title. Now, you know, they're trying different things. You know, to better, I mean, I don't think that's a very good thing, the Never thing, personally, but, you know, like, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me, like, why they're handling things how they have, but, you know, it's clear that they're doing different things, at least, and you're seeing stuff with the Young Lions, or seeing the women's title come in, and, like, they're trying different things, and I think that's a good thing for the company that has been dreadfully stale for the last many, many years, to be honest with you. So I like that they're at least doing different things, heading into the Dome. I think that, I mean, I'm hopeful that we see the title defended on the Dome. I could still see them kind of being put in the undercard position, again, to kind of massage some of those bruised egos that I talked about.
Mm.
But like I said, what's going to happen? Let's say they have a match at the Dome. I mean, first of all, we have to talk about the final. I think that there's really no bad option between the two, like Mayu or nope. Kairi, to be honest with you. Like, justice-wise, I think Mayu should win because she's the one that stayed out of everybody. Like, that's the one. But from a business sense, I think Kairi will win. You know, that's just my opinion. I think she has the most cachet in America of any of their talents. And I think that they will use that and leverage it, not just in the American shows, but if they do a show or a match on their big shows, Tokyo Dome or whatever, putting Kairi in a match will get attention more than anyone else on the roster. So I think Kairi will win personally, but if Mayu wins, I'm totally happy with that as well. And either way, let's say one of these two faces, like anybody really on the roster, there's a million different choices you could go with. Let's say Hazuki is the pick there, just drawing a name out of hat. You know, Kairi versus Hazuki in the Tokyo Dome for the women's title, first defense or whatever. That's gonna turn some heads at that show because it's gonna be one of the best matches on the
show.
So what's going to happen when that happens?
That is going to leave some more egos bruised.
Yes, exactly. So, like, again, I really think that this was a business decision. Like, they see Stardom being so successful and New Japan not successful, that Kidani and whoever else was involved with this decision, I think that that's why they brought it out. But they finally pulled the trigger on it. And I think that it's going to lead to some great matches, but I do think that it's going to be a rocky road for the title in general, unless we could get, like we said in the Evolution thing with All Japan, it feels like everyone's on the same page with that. Mm-hmm. With New Japan, we've already seen, like, multiple different stories. I remember that first day, Stardom rushed out on Twitter and was like,
yes,
this title's not replacing the Red
Crazy, belt. Right?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of dysfunction clearly with this title. You know, that's obvious to anybody, I think. But you could see that if they could get everybody on the same page, I think it could be a great thing. You could give more than anything, more than even helping the women, I think it'll help the New Japan shows to have a big match and a great match, which I think that they, you know, I mean, look at this past show in October. We never really talked about it on the show, but I mean, you had the one great match with Okada and Jonah. But besides that, that wasn't a great show.
It was a one match show.
Yeah, I mean, they had a couple of decent matches. It wasn't anything too terrible. But
I liked on that show. I liked Wato and Ishimori much more than the main with Jay and Tamatonga.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. That Wato and Ishimori match over delivered. The main event, it wasn't great. Hopefully, we can see some more stuff going forward, some more changes. They're building to. Kind of similar to last year, where it was like, we're on this road to Okada winning at the Dome.
Yeah, they basically did their mini tournament on that show that they always do.
Yeah, except I like that they said that it doesn't matter. Like, even if Okada loses, he's still getting the title shot. And then he won anyway. So, yeah, you know. But, I mean, I agree with that. They got rid of the briefcase. That's another positive change, I would say, for New Japan. But, yeah, you know, now we're heading into this tag league season. And not the real World Tag League, of course.
No.
But the fake World Tag League. Well, so we'll see what happens there. Like I said, this work shoot stuff, to me, isn't that great. And plus, the person behind it is such a terrible performer.
It is absolutely, on all levels, it is absolutely atrocious.
And like I said, it would be okay if we were leading to a great match, but we're heading towards Carl Anderson versus Hikuleo, which I don't want to see under any circumstance. So even if they stretch, if this is a way that they can add interest to a dome match, I mean, like I said, I think that I understand the reasoning behind doing something like this, because if they just have a regular match, nobody's going to care about it, you know? At least now you have people talking about this stupid work shoot angle. Like, people have talked about it, at least, which is more than you would say if they just did a regular match. So I understand it, but I still don't like it, because it's just goofy. And like I said, unfortunately, the performers cannot hold a candle to anything interesting for me. So, like I said, but I will say for them, I think it's good that they're trying different things, like all things considered.
Yes.
So I appreciate that, even if it's not all hits right now. And I hope that they can work things out with this women's title to where it becomes a thing. I'm honestly really excited about the cross-promotional show. I think that's a really cool concept.
Yeah, they have great matches lined up for that.
Yeah, like a lot of good matches. You got the Mayu and Kairi, going to be a great moment. Like, regardless of who wins, it's going to be an epic moment and an amazing match in all likelihood. So I think that they're starting things off on the right foot despite whatever backstage troubles there are. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be in the follow-up, you know, and that's what we have to look forward to.
Exactly. So, yeah, that is basically what was on the menu for us today, looking back at this past weekend in Japanese pro wrestling. I hope everybody enjoyed the show. I urge everybody to check out the series that we did on the career of Antonio Inoki, because I really thought that we really went in depth with a lot of important points of this man's legacy, both, of course, on the winning end and with the Riki Choshu match on the losing end, putting the guy over. I enjoyed doing that, and that is up on our Patreon, patreon.com/EasternLariat.
Yeah, I'm so glad we got the time to do it. And even if you liked the show I did with Cameron, you should still listen to the week of Antonio Inoki, because we focused a lot on the wrestling side of Inoki, which I've always said, I was like, I'm a bigger fan of his as a wrestler than like the president or whatever of the company. So I'm glad we got to see him. And I like, especially for you, Strig, like, I was so happy because we got to see some matches that you had never seen before.
Yeah.
There. And it was really cool. I thought we had a great time doing them. I always love our historical shows. I think it's really cool to do
them. Oh, the week of Lariats is always a fun time.
Yeah, we have some other ones in the archives, too. They're all there, too. Like, if you just look them up for...
We did Hashimoto, Kojima, Muto, and Chono, so yeah.
And all of the third generation. Like, we had ones on Nagata, Tenzan...
Oh, yeah, right.
We did all of them. Like, so,
true.
Yeah, see, you don't even remember.
No, we did. Yeah, we did them. No, I remember Tenzan, of course, yes. Tenzan, Tenzan was a great one.
I remember all of them, like I said. So they're all there. Look them up. They're all good. I promise. Like I said, they were all really a lot of fun, too. You get to learn a lot about the history of New Japan as well. Got to be some new stuff coming up, too, by the way, on the Patreon. You're definitely going to want to check this stuff out. Been doing a lot on the Hall of Fame, obviously. Next week, there's going to be another one on the free feed with me and Gerard Detrolio. I mentioned it about the other brackets or the other regions. And on the Patreon, this is going to be free for everybody, by the way, so check this out. Every day, I'm going to put up written articles on Manami Toyota match, going through her whole career. I had a ton of them. I have like 34 of these things lined up. And then after that, I'm going to finish out her career with major matches. Lots of Toyota and Yamada stuff. So if you're a Hall of Fame fan, or you just want to see some Zinjo, some classic Japanese Joshi wrestling, you get a lot of great stuff there, not just with Toyota, but all of the surrounding areas of the talents. And I explain the history of the company and how things get flipped on its head in the mid-90s, and a lot of the depths that the Matsunaga has incurred, and all kinds of stuff going on. You're going to learn a lot of stuff. All the stuff's free for the Toyota Tuesdays. Every day will be Tuesday in November with Toyota. And then after that, I'm going to finish the career to end out the year. And me and Dr. Jonathan, we're going to do another show. We're going to do some hype because he has his new book out. about Keiji Muto, the Muto years of All Japan, coming at a specific.
Very interesting stuff.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to have a review of his book on there. I'm going to read it. That's going to be on the Patreon. You got to check that out. Sign up for it. It's going to be some good stuff. Sign up to that Big Hosh tier. We're also, me and him are going to sit down and we're going to do our own week of Keiji Muto as well. Me and you have done we covered the Golden Lariat with his first ever title reign, which was interesting in a different way. But now we're going to do the week of format and we're going to lead into his book. So it's like if you've got his book, the All Japan week of, and we'll see. This is going to be all New Japan stuff. We'll do another one on the All Japan show. That may be for the free feed as well in the future, but that's a ways away. But the New Japan one is definitely going to be on the Patreon. So me and Dr. Jonathan doing some good content on there. 90s project. We just finished 97, 98's on the way. Headed to the end of the decade as well. There, so good stuff there. All kinds of cool stuff. Talking about DDT, Dragon Gate. We're going to do some shows on there as well. So you're getting all kinds of good content. Like, it's a huge bargain, just $5. And I want to shout out Patreon because now we have something called rollover pricing. So you can actually sign up at the end of the month, and it doesn't charge you twice like it used to. Well, it didn't happen a lot, but every once in a while, somebody would sign up like at the end of the month, and I was like, crap, yeah. You know, like on there. So they've stopped screwing over everybody finally after my emails and demands and trying to make them do that. I don't want to say that I'm the one that inspired it, but I will say that I complained about it at different points. So
you're the leader of the union.
I don't know if, like I said, I don't want to say that, but I will say that all I will say is that I complained. They could have completely ignored all of this, but I did complain, by God, and I will do that. That's one thing you can count on me for. I will be as negative as possible when people do bad things in this world, and I will fight for better things to happen. And now we have it, so you can sign up. Even now, as you listen to this, you might be thinking, oh, man, I want to hear that Week of Inoki series. Sign up to the Patreon. It's right there. You're like $5, right, you get everything. There. Seven shows for $5 and a bunch of extra stuff as well. You know, you get all kinds of stuff, and not to mention the archive. There's literally probably hundreds of hours on there for real.
Oh yeah,
so it's all kinds of cool stuff on there, and of course, the tournaments, the DDT tournament. Every single match will be covered. Goddesses of Stardom tournament. Every single match. Well, it depends on when they upload them. But eventually, I will cover every single match. It just may take a little longer to get all of those. So you got to sign up for the Patreon, people. If you like Japanese wrestling, go over. Like I said, I promise you'll like it. If not, you can always unsubscribe at the end of the month if you're like, I would, you know. But give it a chance, man. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. I think you'll really like the stuff that we've done. And all kinds of guests pop in and out, people to talk to. It's not just, if it was up to me, I'd just complain about the Carolina Panthers, my football team, all the time. They're just completely imploding. But I don't do that. I talk about stuff the Japanese wrestling fans want to hear about with all kinds of good guests and stuff. So check it out. It's really fun stuff.
Absolutely. So this has been the Eastern Lariat. Thank you for listening and goodbye.
Sayonara.
Streaming worldwide. This is the MLWRadio.com network.